It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people. That caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzle?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about
Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein
I have
for
an
money.
Email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for
you. I don't know about
it.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. Okay. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in these storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know. But what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars, while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bowne reporting for InfoWars.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal third hour of the program. It is I, Brianna Morello. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Thank you to Matt Tardio for holding down the fort for the last 2 hours. It was quite the extensive drive after spending the night over at Ken Paxton's party last night. Many of you guys probably saw. He is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, the Rhino, who has obviously been holding down that Senate seat that we were going to pry away from his hands. So it was quite the adventure. But it was interesting being in Dallas because, well, I happened to see a friend of mine. He's come in from across the pond, and joining me now to discuss is Tommy Robinson in studio. Tommy, welcome to Texas.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. It's been quite the adventure so far for our audience. You know, we had Matt Tardio filling in for me yesterday, or for, I guess you say, the last 2 hours. And you and I made the venture last night. We were with Ken Paxton. You had the honor of meeting Ken Paxton yesterday, election night for the primaries, at least. He is now in a runoff with John Cornyn, who we call a rhino over here. He's just a Republican by name at this point. He is not a actual Republican. He doesn't represent conservative values. And, you know, Ken's looking to replace him. You were able to briefly speak with Ken. What was that like yesterday?
I'd looked up Ken, and I'd seen that he'd stood by Donald Trump. And he didn't just stand by Donald Trump, but he used his ability as an attorney general with his legal history to attempt to highlight, which was a rarity at the time. Remember, when that election was stolen, how many people actually stood up? How many people within the Republican Party stood up? He stood up, so I know he's a man of loyalty to Donald Trump. I know he's a man of truth. So, and then I looked at what he faced, and he seemed to have faced relentless court attempts, attempts to impeach, attempts to discredit, all of which he seems to have come through. I saw that his campaign, he spent $4 million and his opposition spent $100 million. And I think that it seems to be, well, I've come to America asking questions about the Islamization. I'm very shocked at how upfront and how honest the Muslims are in America about their intentions. Because they were more quiet when they first come to UK. You've only got 1%. They say we've got 6%. We've probably got at least 10%, yeah? But they were more quiet. But they don't seem to be doing that here. I looked at Epic City before I'd come. So I come to Texas. Obviously, we think of Texas and we think cowboys. We think steak. We think we've got all this vision of barbecues. And I come to Texas and ended up in, is it Plano?
Yes, Plano, Texas.
Ended up in Plano and thought I was in Baghdad. Yeah, I just thought I was back home in Luton. So the problems that are here, and then I looked at Texas, 330 mosques, up from nearly 200 in 5 years. I'm just not sure America understands what's happening and how big this is going to go.
Yeah.
And how much of a issue this is going to be for the future of the United States. Britain's gone. Many areas are never coming back. And Germany and France and Sweden and the crime statistics and the problems that are being imported in. So to Americans, it's like, You had immigration from Hispanic nations, and there was a lot of noise made about it, which I understand. Mm. But you have no idea what Joe Biden's just done.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what he's done. You have no idea what's coming when he opens your borders to 10 million at least of Eritreans, of Pakistanis, Somalians, Iraqis, Syrians. It's an alien culture, and it's a hostile, violent community that have been imported into your nation. And I went to see the mosque. This huge
epic, yeah,
epic mosque. Not that they want to build one bigger, but the, yeah, this in Texas. And then as I was there, I approached the mosque and I was told by a Muslim, I thought he looked like a police officer, come out, he had his firearm, he come out, what are you doing here? I just said, here to ask some questions, here to have a look, can I speak to your imam? Imam's not here. Car park's half full, the imam's not there. I said, where's the imam? Is anyone here I can ask a couple of questions? You need to leave this land. So I've just been over to a church, because I've just been to the church, no one's asked me, I haven't had anyone coming, yeah, out to me in this way, I haven't had anyone tell me I can't film, I haven't had anyone telling me I have to leave this private property. What's the problem? What's the issue? So then I left because they asked me to leave, and then I went to there's two roads either side of this mosque, which is Medina Villas. So the road's called Medina Villas, and obviously to anyone who's looked into this, which I guess a lot of your viewers have,
yeah,
they wanted to build this new city, which is an enclave, and in this enclave, they wish to name the roads after Islamic conquerors,
yeah,
not after peacemakers, not after reformists, but Islamic conquerors. So for me to see this is the start, and what I've met influencers, I've met YouTubers, I've met politicians. I wanted to meet everyday Americans. I've had quite a few reach out to me. So I had a lovely couple, a lady called Abby and her husband, who reached out to me. They're based in Dallas, and she talked to me about some of the problems. So I went to meet her. I went to meet her yesterday, and her grandmother had lived in Plano, her mother had lived in Plano, she'd lived in Plano, and now she's had to flee, and she breaks down crying. So the video we're working on now, she breaks down and she's crying her eyes out and she's emotional. She was harassed by a Muslim migrant. She said that as the houses were coming for sale within the area, obviously it's all Muslim migrant, all Muslims coming in and buying them. But then she was intimidated at her own home by one of these men continually every day. And in the end, she made the decision that she just had to leave. Now that, what you're witnessing there, I've seen this. I'm from Luton Town, yeah? Now, it starts off, she said that they'd knock on the neighbour's doors, and this is what they do. They'll knock on the door, we want to buy your house. Say the house is worth 400, we'll give you 500.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually quite nice of them, because yeah, where I'm from, they just smash your house up until you're in a position where you just need to get out of there. And anyone can watch my presentation. I gave a presentation to Oxford University at the Oxford Union where I showed 67 attacks against old age pensioners' houses, British old age pensioners' houses, smashed up, obliterated. One of the couples, 88 years old, they don't even bother repairing their windows, because if they repair their windows, they just get smashed again. So they live in a boarded up home. And the reason for that is that the Muslim community want them gone because they're creating this enclave. Now, they put in plans for their own one here. And then we see what is called white flight, which is what this lady and her husband have done, is they flee and they move to another area. And then you have an entire ghetto area, an entire enclave. I went into the shops. You know, there's a load of new shops.
Yeah.
I went into the shops and there's a whole row of these shops. It's next to a church. So warning, that's not going to be a church for long.
Yeah.
A few years, that's a mosque. Yeah, 100%. Okay, this is which I've seen, and to the rest of the United States, to the rest of Texas, this is a blueprint. My hometown was a blueprint. I started talking about what happened in my town 15, 20 years ago, and everyone hated me. And now they see it, because everything I said is now in their town.
Yeah.
So you might think it's not in your town today. It's coming. And they're preparing for the future with the mosque applications, with the money, the Qatari money, the Iranian money, the Saudi money that's all flooding in. It doesn't teach integration or assimilation.
Yeah.
It's domination.
Yeah.
You need to really get your heads around it and understand this difference and understand what's now here. And then I went into the shops and I just said, they're all nice, beautiful, brand new shops, but they're not for you, Texans. They're not for you, Christians. So there's not going to be anywhere for you to shop unless you shop in their shops. And when you go in their shops, as I went in yesterday, I said, is there anything non-halal in here? No. What do I do then? If I live around that corner and I want to buy something, where am I buying from? So I went into the lady shop. If you're a lady in that area, okay, it's all burqas. It's all Islamic garb. Went to the next shop, again, it's all Islamic. I went to the next shop, it's all Islamic. Now that, I know you don't see it, but I don't know if you understand. And this lady gave a very good representation, so I'm looking forward to getting her video out so Americans can listen to her. You don't need to listen to me now. Yeah? I thought I'd be coming here giving you a warning, saying, America, look, I've seen what's happened. First place I've been where I reached out to the American public, they're telling me the same story. The identical story to what I've seen in my hometown. Now, all the problems I've seen, like these rape gangs, they're here. Trust me. They're here. Wherever there's Islamic community, they're raping and they're taking, they're kidnapping. And again, I can sit here and spew the statistics because some people don't like them. Even if you look at, so as Americans, how many did Joe Biden look in? You tell me how many.
They will report to us about 11 million. So I usually say double it.
So if you say double it, just say it's 11. So let's say it's 11. Yeah. Germany let in a million. So Germany lets in 1 million, you've let in 11 million. Germany let in 1 million Syrians. Now, out of those Syrians, when they let them in, at 2015, 16, look at the rape figures from 2017 to 2022 in Germany. Rapes went up 45%. Yeah? 45%. 56 or might be 58, might be wrong, it's 56 or 58% of the rapes last year in Germany were by Muslim migrants. Yeah, they only make up about 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. So is it a price worth paying to open your borders? You've had 10 million come in. Yeah, Germany let a million in. I've told you the rape statistics there. Sweden, let's look at Sweden. 63% of the rapes last year, Muslim migrants. 63%. Now, this is 63% of rapes that just didn't have to happen because Muslim migrants shouldn't be there. The same in Germany. If we look in the UK, 90% of the convictions for rape, groups of men that rape children, are Muslim men. 30% are called Muhammad. 90% from a 3% population, because that's all Muslim men make up in the UK. 77% of the rapes last year in Paris were Muslim migrants. 77%. So all of these problems and these rapes, it didn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. I understand you're a nation of immigrants. You open your borders, you let people in who are skilled, who come to assimilate, immigrate and benefit. Well, that's not what you've done. That's not what Joe Biden's done. Now, if you look at Minnesota, if you look at the Somali community, well, how are they benefiting the United States of America? We can look, and there's studies now, so no one can claim they didn't know. Mm-hmm. There's so many studies. Denmark done a study looking at the migrants that come in. You can find this study. And then not just looking at the migrants, but looking at the second generation and the third generation. Nothing changes. They all remain reliant on the state. They don't work. Criminal activity, like Afghans, 22 times more likely to be involved in a sexual assault. When it comes to criminal activity, rape statistics in the UK from 2003 to 2000. I have to tell you these statistics because you have to look. 2003 to 2023, our rape stats went from 8,800 to 88,000 rapes. Sweden, from 1975, there was 365 rapes. Last year was 32,000. Like, do you know how many rapes there were last year? So we had 88,000. Germany, there were in Poland, less than 500. Mm-hmm. In Hungary, I think 650. So these are the questions you need to ask yourself. And then you need to look at your politicians and ask, that's why Ken Paxton, you need to look at your politicians and ask, who's brave enough to have this discussion?
Yeah.
Because it's a discussion you're going to have. Who's brave enough to actually stand up and speak truth to power on this subject? Not be worried, not be coward, not be scared of being called an Islamophobe, because that's what disabled an entire nation of British men. An entire nation was disabled through the fear and paralysed through the fear and worry of being called racist, extremist, all these things. People were worried about losing their job. It's like an invading army have come into a country, raped their way through it, whilst everyone just, I've got my job. Oh, don't want to be called a racist, do I? It's the darkest stain on British history, these rapes. But I see, in America, that's why Ken Paxton, if you look at what he spoke about previously, if you look at what he's trying to do, and it's far, and when I spoke to him last night, unless you have a coordinated effort from one end of the United States to the other, so you can have a brave gentleman like Ken Paxton, you can have some brave politicians in Texas, or you can have brave politicians in Florida. I've met a few, yeah, since I've been here, congressmen. You've got a caucus now of, I think, over 42 congressmen. If your congressman is not part of the caucus against Sharia, then you need to contact them and ask them why they're not.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What 95%, I think, last night of Texans asked want to ban Sharia? Now, that is an overwhelming majority, clearly, from people voting in the primaries. But what that should do is give courage to all other Republicans to realise this is a hot topic that the public feel very passionately and very strongly about. I'd say yesterday was a bit of a referendum. When I don't know everything, so I'm not aware of every point of your politics. But from the outside in, when I look at the 95%, when I look at Ken Paxton with 4 million, him with 100 million, and they're neck at neck. If it was a fair, balanced fight in funding, well, Ken Paxton would have smashed it. Yeah, he had the other gentleman who's a rhino.
John Cornyn.
Yep. Had, and you have to understand, you have to look at these people as traitors now. That's how you have to look at them.
Yeah.
They're traitors. Because they might start trying to ride the wave as they see people talking about this issue. But they're selling you out. They're absolutely selling out Texas. You're at a crossroads, America. You either go down the same path as Western Europe or you follow the path of Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe has remained safe. It's remained with their laws because they protected their borders and they refused to allow mass immigration of migrants into their country. Now, people might want to call you names like they do Donald Trump. But your women won't be getting raped and pillaged like the rest of Europe's. And you know, if we add even just the basic things, like I see when Donald Trump done his Muslim ban, they called it a Muslim ban, it wasn't a Muslim ban. When he done his ban in 2016, there was a hell of a lot of critique aimed at him from our country, from around the world. Mm-hmm. If our country would have had that ban, Salman Abedi, who could recite the Quran without looking at it, whose father was a terrorist, he flew to Libya from the city of Manchester, which is our northern capital of England, really. It's our London, but up the north. He flew to Libya. He got weapons training, bomb training, and he come back and blew up 26 kids at the Ariana Grande concert. 26 dead. He wouldn't have been able to do that if we'd had that simple ban. So, but they're not bothered about 26 kids dying because they don't want to be deemed as some sort of racist. And 280 more civilians, not military, not police, not anything, civilians would be alive in Europe if we simply just had the ban that Donald Trump put in. So when Donald Trump makes these decisions, some people may get upset because many people just want to be loving and be nice to everyone. You can't be. You can't be nice to people who want to kill you. You can't take the risk. Some of them might be nice. Yeah, well, some of them ain't going to be. Some of them are going to kill you. So if we had an ICE, we need an ICE. Europe needs it. But you see, if we had an ICE now, just so you understand where Europe's at, if we had any sort of organisation like that who are rounding up the illegals, which they need to do, the whole of Europe will burn. Trust me. The minute a political party gets into power in a European nation that tries to implement the law against the Islamic community, they're going to burn. They're going to burn Europe. That's it. And that is what everyone is so scared of. That's why you've just seen with Keir Starmer has betrayed America. He's betrayed. And it's embarrassing for us.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing as a British citizen to see such weak, coward leadership. I mean, you can't even use the word leader in that sentence, can you? But Macron... Now, these two nations, just look at Britain and look at France. Recognise the Palestinian state during the conflict with Israel because they're cucking to the Muslim community who are hostile and aggressive and violent and they need them for their votes. And right now didn't side with the United States to take out one of the most Islamic mullah regimes and supremacist mindsets in the world who fund every terrorist organisation. They didn't stand with America. Now, whether you agree with the conflict or not, America's our allies. They've gone to war. Yeah, you've got a decision to make. Do we stand with America or do we stand by and let this happen? And if by letting it happen, you put America in a worse position, you put freedom in a worse position, so you give less of a chance of the quicker victory. So there was a decision to be made. And our politicians made a decision to stand with the mullahs. That's how I see it.
I want to play this clip because you posted this on X, clip 7, because this is Keir Starmer specifically talking to, I believe it looks like it's in a mosque or maybe an Islamic center, but he's talking to these Muslims and bragging about not being involved in Iran. Take a listen.
But on Iran, I want to make clear the UK was not involved in the offensive strikes of the US and Israel. And that remains the case.
He's bragging about it there. Now, the vast majority of Americans don't support what's going on right now between the United States and Iran and also jumping on board with Israel and all of this. We talked to our audience. We were taking calls all day, and that was the majority of them. But I just want to get to the point that he's trying to make, because it's not even for me. I just kind of step away from it. I'm watching Keir Starmer go out there and coddle these Muslims, and I think it's out of fear. I think he fears these people, and that's the reason why he was you know, speaking to them and saying, listen, we had no part in this, because he's afraid that they might retaliate against him.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of Americans knew what it was like to live with vast majority of Islamic communities. They'd understand what Trump's doing. That's what I think. Because, and I know that might not go down too well with an audience, but I don't think people understand the hatred, the venom, and what the Iranian regime represents, whether it be death to America. They're promoting death to America. They're promoting anti-Western values around the globe. They're funding every terrorist attack. I think we had 12 Iranian-funded plots against our nation stopped. Mm-hmm. They've funded wars against American, killing American troops, attacking American ships, embarrassing, humiliating the American Navy, took billions of pounds off Barack Obama. The whole same axis of evil that's coming from Barack Obama, when Barack Obama's false governments were in bed with Iran. Iran despise you. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, if they do, and don't think of this logically, because they're not logical. They're jihadists. They are absolute jihadists. So if they get, if they could have a, people think, well, they wouldn't fire a nuclear weapon at us because we'd fire one back and we'd blow their whole nation up. Yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah, they'd be quite happy with that because they're going up there. In their mindset, that's where they're going. So I've been surrounded my whole life by this jihadist mindset. And I understand that the money that's coming from there funds the Muslim Brotherhood, funds all these organisations which are intent on the Islamisation of our nation, in changing the demographic of our nation, of all of these things. So I despise Iran. I also look, and Iran is not Afghanistan. It's just not. 99% of Afghanis want Sharia law. You take out the Taliban, they're coming back. They're coming back because that's the law of the land. They want it. They want Sharia. Same with Iraq. They want it. They want the slavery. They don't want the freedom. Persian people, since the Islamic Revolution, have had a boot on their neck. They're not Muslim. It's like, say, for example, in Britain, it's like the Mullahs taking over Britain now, yeah? Because they were a free, loving West, free supporting, free speech, democracy. That's what that nation was. The people have a rich identity and culture in who they are. And it's not Islamic. So they've been forced, the women, you just have to meet any Iranians in your country and speak to them. I know many Iranians in the UK, they've fled the Islamic Revolution. I know millions and millions and millions that have fled. Now, that have fled to different nations for safety, to get away from the slavery. And so I think when people think about there's going to be this big conflict on the streets there, no one knows what's going to happen, but I think that with the revolution and with the Ayatollahs being taken out, you'll end up with a pro-Western, a pro-freedom, an American-loving nation. Donald Trump's going to be he's going to go down for the next hundreds of years as a hero to that nation, as our America. Now, for the next 100 years, that nation was working to create a nuclear bomb to get rid of America and get rid of Britain. And they hate us. And if you look at Christian populations, just look at the Christians. How are the Christians getting on in Iran? What's the Christian population in Syria? What's it gone from and what's it gone to? It's still, 0.2% now, is it? Iraq, they're all gone. They're all massacred. So I hear so many people talking about other issues, but I think, well, what's happened to the Christians in the Middle East? Why have they been literally genocided across the Middle East? It's because of the groups that these bastards fund. It's because of the idea that they fund. It's because of their mindset. So I'm in the UK. I'm surrounded by them. I know how they think. They hate us. Yeah, they hate us. So I know many people who are not from towns and cities see this faraway conflict. For many people, it's far away. For me, it's not far away. It's in my country. They're in my country. They're working against our country. They're working against our values. And Yeah.
No, it's devastating to see. And we're going to dive into this as well. I want to talk more about what's happening here in Texas, because obviously that's something that we're seeing firsthand play out. We just saw a terror attack also play out just a few days ago, sadly, here in Austin. So we'll go over that in a moment, Tommy. And I look forward to talking about that, though. Folks, I just want to point your attention right now over to the alexjonesstore.com. We have the Mega March sale going on right now. This launched yesterday. It is an incredible sale. It is 30 to 40% off most of the supplements right now at the alexjonesstore.com. And of course, it's for a limited time while supplies last. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. So many of your favorite supplements are on sale right now. And, you know, for Tommy and I, we'll do this in a second. I'm exhausted, so we're going to take some vitamins to give us some energy boost in a moment.
I asked for a double espresso.
That's what we handed
you. I got this. So it's Vaseline off my tips, and it's a...
It's going to work. You have energy when you go talk to Alex in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to need it.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. That's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Well, welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're joining us, of course. We're glad my buddy Tommy Robinson is here in studio. Now, listen, we had a crazy night last night. Not so much in the way of, like, raging, partying, drinking, but we were up kind of late last night. I know you came into Texas yesterday, Tommy. So I could definitely use like a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to do that. And I want you to try this. This is our methylene blue. This is actually one of our more popular items over at the shop right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you literally just take the drop or toss in a couple of drops of it.
A couple of drops, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's by far one of my favorite things to do every morning.
As I said, I asked for a double espresso. I'm now injecting blue stuff into my glass of water.
Yes, you are.
I left at half four. Where did I fly from yesterday? Somewhere in Florida. So half four in the morning, we left.
You were up north in Florida, yeah.
North in Florida, 4:30 in the morning. I got to bed last night at 1:30. We met up this morning at 6. I've done that sort of schedule for about 2 weeks since I've been.
Yeah, and we drove you to Dallas.
How many drips?
Just keep going. All right, that's good. It's kind of cool though, right?
Well, this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you in about 10 minutes. How quickly is this going
to
work?
I'd say give it a couple minutes. Okay. All right, let's cheers to that. I think you're really going to like this one.
So just explain to me so I know what I'm actually putting in. Not that I really care, but what does it do?
It's going to get rid of your brain fog, which I could tell you have a lot of. Yeah. It's also going to give you an energy boost as well. It's one of my favorite things in the morning to do. I actually don't really do caffeine anymore. Every now and then a sugar-free Red Bull. But
I just do double espressos. I don't like them. But well, I'm running on nothing at the minute.
Well, we've got to get you... This is going to help you significantly. You'll feel it. When you go over to Alex's show, you're going to feel it. And he'll ask you for an update live on air. But also, we have these energy shots, too. There's actually some in Alex's studio as well. And it doesn't taste that bad.
after thing?
Yeah. And now, so your tongue is blue now.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Do you know when I started the English Defence League?
Yeah.
There's a drink in the UK called Blue WKD. I was a bit of a bitch. I don't like alcohol, yeah? So I don't like beer. I don't like alcohol. Yeah. Don't like tasting any of it. So I used to drink these sugary girls drinks, Blue WKD.
Uh-huh.
I was only, 24 was I? But from when I was 18, 24, now I'd drink them and I'd give me a blue tongue.
Yeah.
So I started the English Defence League and I started getting photographed everywhere. And every photograph of me had a blue tongue. So I just had to stop drinking them. And my teeth, they're blue.
Well, listen, you could tell them you got methylene blue now. We'll send you back some.
I'll keep drinking Blue WKD.
This is what you're going to need.
Okay.
You'll feel it. I'm telling you. It's great. Everyone loves it when they come into the studio. This is what I...
I'm nicking this.
I make everyone... Yeah, we'll give it to you. We'll give you some to take home with you. But I want to dive back into the conversation because I think also... Oh, I'm going to give you that energy shot too. We'll give you a couple of those. So do one energy shot.
What are these then? Because I've done some of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me see which ones you have. I don't know which ones they gave you. See, Tommy, when he came in, by the way, it was about a 3.5-hour car ride up from Dallas to Austin. And on your way in, you asked for, obviously, espresso, and we handed you this. So they gave you brain focus. Again, this is going to help you with the brain fog and give you a nice little energy boost. It's all natural, and it's actually one of the top supplements that we have at the shop right now, so that's a great one too. And then you've also got the powder. I don't think we gave you the powder yet to try, but let's keep it simple for you right now. Let's keep you to the methylene blue. Let's keep you to the brain focus. And then I also want to give you the energy shot later too. That's over at Alex's studio. We got a bunch of those. I'll give you one to try, and it's my favorite. It's the energy shot. No caffeine. Again, you're going to be amazed by this. There's no caffeine. Doesn't give you any jitters. It's literally energy with just a natural boost of energy that lasts all day long. And I do this every single day to start off my day. And it's by far one of my favorite ones. We just launched those recently over at thealexjonesstore.com. And again, folks, it is the March mega sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. 30 to 40% off some of your favorite items right now at the shop. So definitely check that out. But, you know, Tommy, I kind of want to dive back into the topic because you and I were going back and forth with all of this. You know, you talked about Texas and what you saw firsthand here in Texas. We've talked about what's happened to me in Texas since I got here. I mean, I used to come to Dallas. I've been coming to Dallas for like 10 years now, and I didn't realize how bad it got, but it got really bad over these last 3 years in Dallas, where it's been taken over by those who have gotten H-1B visas. A massive Indian population has moved in, and then it's also been Muslims, and it's kind of different from what I'm used to, and I'm trying to maneuver around the community, and it's not the same that it used to be, and it's really upsetting, but a lot of people don't realize that there is a massive Muslim population right now in Texas because they're building up these Muslim compounds like you just described. It's these mini Islamic cities. They're not mega mosques, too. I think a lot of people say mega mosques when they describe it. That's not the case. These are mini cities where we won't compounds. Know who's living there. Yeah, because they have all these shops like you detailed. You walked in. There's a restaurant, a supermarket. They have all of the necessities on this property, so they don't ever have to leave. And, you know, Amy Mech is constantly saying, you guys, people are going to be born on these properties, and you're never going to know about it. They don't actually have to tell the government about it because they have everything they need in these cities. And that's exactly what they're doing in Epic. They're trying to build it up. They're even trying to change the name. They went from Epic to The Meadow because they got a lot
Epic's
of pushback.
Epic's quite nice. Doesn't sound Islamic. They'll change the names of those.
That's what they did.
They get through, once that becomes a town, that will be something like Mashallah City.
Yeah, but they don't welcome... You went there. They didn't welcome you. I know so many have gone through. There's a lot of top-notch security, in fact. Some people have reported to me that they actually have their license plates ran before they even make their way into
Epic. We got followed. So a car followed us out. We then went driving around the little neighborhood. The car was following us everywhere.
See, this is the problem, though. And this is the main issue here. And there's allegations because we've seen Ed Drain, who is the police chief in Plano. We've seen him speak at the mosque. He is very clear. He's very detailed as to his siding is always with them. Now, I've sent you the video before we even knew who the suspect was. I told you that a man had followed me into my apartment complex, and this was in Plano, Texas at the time. He had followed me into my building. I didn't know who he was. I told him repeatedly to get out, and the only reason why he left after following me up my stairwell was when I pulled a gun on him. I went to the police and tried to report it to the police. The police wouldn't show me the footage. The police, in fact, at first didn't even look at the footage, even though I had an FBI letter saying that I was someone who was being harassed. These pedophile groups were going after me, sending me death threats. They didn't care. They looked away when they realized that their police, because I described him as a man who was Middle Eastern. I didn't know what his religious background. I just said he's someone who's Middle Eastern. He had an accent.
He'd be lying about his religious background anyway. He's probably saying he's a Christian so he can have refugee status.
Yeah, well, that's one of the many things that I am calling into question here with this man.
They all do.
It wasn't until... this is when he runs out. Yeah, this is when he runs out because he saw my gun. So when I turned to the police, Ed Drain's police department, they instead referred to this in the police report as a flirting incident. Now, obviously, that's not a flirting incident, but the reason why I'm talking about this...
It's pretty shit at flirting, isn't it? You don't chase a bird up the stairs to flirt with her.
No, you don't.
When she's had no conversation, no word, don't know her. That's not a flirting incident. That's like sort of a harassment.
And he followed me for quite some distance. Now, he's officially been arrested because the Collin County DA's office has officially filed charges against him for trespassing. But it only happened after I pushed back. But this is my point here, is Plano PD, who runs, obviously works with Epic, is the same police department that refused to respond to me, refused to help me out. Okay. But this is happening all across the state. There was a woman who saw the video of what happened to me. She also walked into Plano Police Department and said, hey, listen, I have footage of this guy, too. The same guy that I think is in this footage, she alleges that this happened to her. She tries showing them the footage. And they said, ma'am, you live in Frisco. You got to go to Frisco Police. And they shoot her away, didn't take down her information or anything. This is what's going on right now in Plano, Texas.
Get used to it.
Yeah. This is what's going to happen if we allow it.
Just get used to it. Okay. Yeah. The police aren't there for you. The police, everyone will succumb to them. Because what the police will weigh up, and I'll give you examples in the UK, for example, yeah? In the UK, there was a mass plan for one of these compound centres, and it was in a little town called Dudley, and it was massive, what they were buying. It was huge, the complex, for a mosque, Sharia court, school, everything was inside these massive walls. So they're planning it, and it was a derelict building at the time, an old manufacturing factory. So we got someone up onto the roof of it, in the middle of the night to play a call of prayer. So we played the call of prayer out as it's belling out, just to let the community know, well, this is what's coming. This is what you're going to have. Yeah, so just get used to it. Started bawling out. Muslims come out, rioted everywhere. They come out in the middle of the night and it's all kicking off. Lads are up on the roof, waving the flags and then playing the call to prayer. This is probably 2011, 2012. Muslims come out, then they're fighting against the police. They're rioting against the police. Now, when we got home, we read on a far-left website, because you have to understand that the far-left will align with these groups. They'll all work together for the destruction of the United States of America. You're seeing it now. You've seen it in your universities. You've seen it in your college campuses. You've seen it in New York. You've seen it. You've all seen it. Okay, you can see it now. You don't have to listen to us. It's happening here. It's in America. So as they're doing this, a Muslim attacks, and we read... attacks a police officer with a brick, smash him in the head. Mm. So then we read that the imam went with a group of 200 Muslims to the police station to demand they release the man without charge. Mm. And we read that he was released. And to me, I'm thinking, well, that's impossible. Yeah. That hasn't happened. You can't attack a copper. So then I was leader of the English Defence League, which was a street protest movement. We used to protest issues around Islam. Mm-hmm. I've gone to a meeting, because we used to have meetings with gold commanders, silver commanders from each police force. So when we're coming to a city, we sit down and negotiate what we want in demonstrations, in where we're going, and what's legal. So I went to the next meeting with the Midlands, the Birmingham Police Force. We used to call it the West Midlands Police Force. We used to call them West Muslim Police Force, because that's what they end up becoming. Yeah. So we sat down with the police and we said, I read something online, lads. I read that after what happened in Dudley, that the imam come to the police station and you guys freed the man. And they all looked, and I could tell straight away, I went, oh my God. You let him go. Why would you let him go? Mm. And then they said, Tommy, we're faced with a situation. We have one charge for one criminal offence, or we have the potential of riots here that may start here, but they'll spread to every other Islamic community. So we have to weigh it up. I said, who controls the streets of this city? And it's not you, is it? It's the imam. The imam's come down and told you what to do. Yeah. You've done it. And that's what you're going to see here. And it's not just, remember, the hierarchy of police forces in the UK, they're politicians. They're put into positions, and it's the police force become politicised. And then you have a Labour Party, a Democrat Party, whichever party, because unfortunately for you guys, And for us, the Republicans and the Democrats at certain levels will become succumb to them. When you look at the funding that's coming into some of your politicians here, your Republicans, what, 13 million is it from a Pakistani? Yeah. So they buy their way in so that someone can afford £100 million in funding. And it's like when you look at the money that's needed for these campaigns, Islam will bring the money in. Saudi, Qatar, this money will flow into the country to influence your politicians. And then they can swing the votes. Because you see, if they build that compound and there's 10,000 or 20,000 live with, once they create an enclave and you've got 20,000 or 30,000, for example, my hometown, there's 50,000. So we have 45 mosques. When I was born, we had one. Now we have 45. The leader of the council of mosques, this is where they all come together, will sit down with the council and say, this is what we want, and we'll give you 50,000 votes. Now, your church priest might tell you to vote for, but people vote different ways. When their imam tells them who to vote for, because they're using democracy to end democracy, they'll use your constitution to end your constitution. They will use your values to overthrow your values, to replace your values. So they're going to use the system whilst they've got the protections of freedom of speech and they've got the protections under the Religious Freedom Act. Islam's not religion. It's a political ideology. The last thing they do is pray. These are command and control centres set up in your community to command and control the community, to change the community for what? For Sharia. Who's funding? Who's funding Epic Sea? Have you looked into it?
It's questionable groups right now because I don't want to make the accusations on air. But I will say that what usually happens, I believe it might be Saudi-based.
Saudi-based. Not Israel, then?
No. Well, okay. This is the other thing, too.
Entire enclaves are being set up in your country, funded by Saudi, funded by Qatar, funded by Islamic nations, most of which those Islamic nations you currently have your right-wing commentators, many of them, in bed with.
Yeah.
That's a reality. So as your country's going to change its demographic, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen because I've watched it happen. Yeah, they're going to set up bases. And whilst they're setting up bases, you'll have people like Tucker Carlson telling you how great Qatar is. But Qatar has spent £1 billion in my country. £1 billion. And that £1 billion has gone to the spread of Islam and the Islamization of my nation. £1 billion, Qatar. Yeah, they're not your friends. They're not your friends. Qatar fund most of them. It's the home and the base of most of these terrorist groups. It's the Hamas, their headquarters, Muslim Brotherhood, all of them. They sit there in their base and then they decide how they're going to Islamize. Remember, Islam's goal is to conquer the world. It's not to conquer Israel. It's to conquer the world. It's like some people think there was no problems up until 1948. It's like, oh, okay, Israel was formed in 1948. Well, it's 1,400 years of jihad. 1,400. It's like, no matter what conflict you look at, they have raped, pillaged, and smashed Christians. The Battle of the Gates of Vienna in 1638 was on September 11th. Yeah, the Battle of the Gates of Vienna. Israel wasn't here, okay? Islam was massacring. Islam was waging war upon who? Non-Muslims. 45 countries have turned to civil conflict because of what? Because Islam coming as a minority, like it's doing now in the United States of America, there's not one single example where it's peacefully coexisted. One. Now, that doesn't mean everything an Israeli government or an American government or a British government does is good or right. Yeah? But you need to understand, because I hear commentators in the United States talking about a Muslim-Christian alliance. Yeah, you come to Europe and tell us about a Muslim-Christian alliance. You come into Germany, or you go into France, or you go into Sweden, and you tell us about this Muslim-Christian alliance. You ain't going to get one. They might have a little alliance with you when they're at 1%. Trust me.
Yeah? Well, they could lie to us, of course, yeah.
And they are lying to you.
Yeah.
But they're not lying to you.
Yeah.
Your own commentators are lying to you. Tucker Carlson's lying to you. I'm just telling you how it is. I've watched him. Tucker Carlson come into my country.
In your opinion, yeah. That's how you
view. It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. Tucker Carlson is lying. Tucker Carlson come into my country and said, there's no problems here. What do you mean there's no problems here? A whole generation of our daughters are being raped. What do you mean there's no problems? Islam's all right because my taxi driver was nice. Yeah, well done, Tucker. That's right, innit? Qatar's great. Yeah, it's great. Great. They're funding every terrorist organisation in the world. £1 billion, as I said. Most of the problems I see in my country. Do you know Qatar? I went in, when I walked in to do an Al Jazeera speech, you can go and find this interview. I went in to go into the Al Jazeera building. France had just been blown to bits in a terrorist attack. The money come from Qatar. I walk into Al Jazeera's head office, which again is just a propaganda machine on behalf of Islam.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay? That's what it is. I went in to Al Jazeera's office and I had to go through all these metal detectors everywhere. And security everywhere. And then I sat down and said, you cheeky bastards. We're out there on the street. They're killing us in every European country. You're funding it. And then you sit in here protected by all your... You've literally got a military here to defend you when the people that you're funding are in my country desecrating it. Desecrating it. So, again, Tucker Carlson has no idea what he's talking about, if I'm honest. I watch and look and think, come to the UK.
Can I jump in on this? Because I think this is the problem that
if anyone knows Tucker Carlson, get me sat down with him.
I think it should be. I think you guys both should have an open debate, and I think it should be one.
Well, he pretends when we're all about lying, he sat and pretended he didn't know me. I've been on his show twice. He's talked about me multiple times. He's, who's Tommy Robinson? No, I don't know him. Yeah.
Well, that was bizarre because I actually learned who you were from watching Tucker Carlson.
He's
tonight,
a liar. It's not bizarre. He's lying. Well, he's lying about me. He's lying about Qatar. He's lying about Islam. He's lying about the danger you face. And it's not just him. He's saying Muslim immigration is not going to be a threat to this nation. It's not. What? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, are you, that is actually, to me, it's like, well, you're going to allow this to grow and grow and grow and grow. And none of these videos, I'm just telling you, America, none of these videos from these commentators who have took the stance of pro-Iran or pro-Qatar or any of these nations, none of them are going to age well, because you're going to face jihad like you did this week in Texas. It's going to happen time and time again. They're going to blow up your country. They're going to massacre your people. They're going to rape. They're going to pillage. And the whole time, you're going to go back to videos of people like Tucker Carlson saying, yeah, it's all right.
Well, I want to jump in on this because I think this is the big problem that I have. Number one, obviously, I'm very well aware of the Islamic threat, and I do truly believe that we do on the homeland have a massive, massive threat here. But to be fair, I mean, the reason what I'm against, though, 100% is all foreign money being poured into the United States, because it's not just Qatar. It's not just the Saudis. It's also Israel. And I know this for a fact because myself included, I've been offered on both sides of all of this. Qatar has offered through someone else, has offered me a vacation for free, no cost, to go visit. Obviously, I'm not a moron. I want to go there because I'm very outspoken about the Islam threat here in the United States. But then Israel has also done the same. And there's also been, and again, it's through other groups. So we know what's going on here, but it happens on all fronts. There's
flow. Okay, if Qatar want to pay me, let me come. I'll come and ask you some questions.
Would you like to?
I'll come and ask every question I want to ask. So let's see if they've got free speech. Do you know when I went on to Al Jazeera? Watch this. I went on to Al Jazeera. I've got some stupid ex-BBC presenter talking about free speech. I said, you haven't got free speech. What are you talking about? He said, we have free speech. People can speak freely. I said, you can't even leave Islam. It's punishable by death. What are you talking about? It's punishable by death. But I recorded the whole thing myself. So as I'm sitting talking and they've got their show, then I said, Mohammed's a murderer. He's a rapist. And then when they put their show out, guess what?
They cut it out.
They cut it out. But I've got the recording. So you can watch this recording. I've got the recording. And then I've got a man who, I'm not being funny, it's the same as Tucker Carlson. He's sitting there bullshitting, lying about free speech. He's lying about Qatar. He's lying about what the country's about. He's lying about their value system. He's lying about everything. He's lying about it. Qatar's a terrorist state. And I know our nations need to be... I know because of the economy. Qatar own more land in my country than the royal family. They've bought our countries. They're buying yours. Who's the biggest funder of universities? Who's funding all these places? Who's funding everything? The money's coming in from Qatar. It's coming in from Saudi. China as well. But China, they're all doing it because they want to see the fall of Western nations. They're happy for it. They want to see it.
Yeah. The money's flowing in all different directions, and I just 100% believe we should all cut it off because there's no need for it. We as Americans could survive without it.
And if Americans are looking at saying, I don't want money coming in from Israel, I don't want money coming from there, fair enough. But to sit and lie to the public and say Islamic immigration is going to be fine for America, it's a lie.
No.
And you can look at our countries, and you're at a crossroads. You either end up like Britain and end up like France and end up like Sweden. And what will happen is your politicians will bend to them. Everyone will bend to them. You've just seen my Keir Starmer there. If we had no Muslims in Britain, he wouldn't be doing that. And then he's going back on his value system, on our core allies, on the foreign policy. Everything's changing because of a 6% hostile Islamic community who will burn, riot, and murder. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's the issue here because we're seeing it firsthand here in Texas. And I think a lot of Americans just would rather kick the can on the road and not address the core issue of this. And that is that we're importing people that hate us. And it's rapidly kind of expanded over these last few years. And again, I don't think most people are going to understand how bad it is because they stay in their compounds. They don't leave. And as Amy Meck puts it, you know, they're going to keep reproducing, and you're not going to know how many kids they have because they don't have to report to the government because everything is it's all inclusive. I mean, not for us, but for their properties. They've got the restaurants, they've got the schools, they've got the supermarkets, they've got the clothing stores. There's no reason for them to venture off and leave. And so from birth to death, they're going to be on those properties and we won't even know who's there. And the worst part about it, too, is the individuals who we had this issue on New Year's in 2025. There was an individual who's an American who was apparently attending a mosque, I believe, in Houston, and he carried out a terrorist attack in New Orleans. He used his car as a weapon and just mowed down people who were celebrating the New Year's in New Orleans. And he was someone who was domestic. He is somebody who is an American citizen who somehow, some way became radicalized. A lot of these people are flying out of the country, going to questionable countries that sponsor terrorism, and then coming back to the States. And this is what's happening.
Somehow, some way. It's an organized effort to convert, to radicalize. Again, where's the money coming from? It's coming from Iran. Again, you're taking out one of the main sponsors. You've just done it this week. The United States have took out one of the main sponsors of Islamic Jihad and terrorism around the globe. I think it's a great thing that they're gone. And let's see what replaces it. Who knows?
But that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah, it's the problem in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't think it's a problem for the Persian people. I actually truthfully believe they're going to rise up and you'll see a freedom-loving Western nation, a Western-loving nation.
Yeah, and I don't think we want our footprints on any of this, though, at this point.
No, I don't think anyone... because I see he hasn't clearly said that. But I don't want British troops in there. I don't want British troops in there. But if we can play a part and help out... British troops need to be in there? Do American troops need to be there? Time will tell. At the same time, they're working against you. They are, again, we've got on the... So shall we just sit back? So let's say they're working on a nuclear weapon, yeah? Let's say they are. That's a difficult one because we heard about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was all a lie. It was all for the benefit of invading these nations. But Saddam Hussein wasn't a jihadist who wanted a worldwide caliphate. He wasn't, yeah? The spiritual leader, Khomeini, and Iran are... There's a whole... The difference in mindset, Saddam Hussein was quite happy just to be in charge of his people in Iraq. Gaddafi was quite happy just to control his country. But these people want world domination. They're working for it. So if they did have a button and they could press it, you'd all be gone. If they could. So then we don't know what intelligence Donald Trump has. I trust Donald Trump more than I trust any other politician. Donald Trump and the American government are fighting for us in Europe and our free speech. The Overton window shifted a lot in the last 12 to 18 months. A lot. And I give a lot of a round of applause to that coming from America. On free speech, on our rights as citizens. We don't have free speech. We live in a post-free speech era in Europe. There's no free speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as all of us are finding out. 12,000 people arrested last year for social media posts in Great Britain. 800 in Russia. Yet we keep getting told by our politicians about Russia.
Yeah.
It's like, no, stop pretending we have free speech. Stop pretending we're the land of freedom. We're not. You are a totalitarian state, and what are the weapons of a totalitarian state? And not just us, because under the era of Joe Biden and under the era of your establishment working alongside big tech, you were living under a totalitarian state. When you have an organised effort to influence big business, as we saw with the Twitter files, so to take businesses, put pressure on them and tell them what to do, to censor, deplatform and sideline and hide certain voices through cancel culture or things like that, deleting people, then you don't really have free speech. You know, really, you didn't at that time, because they didn't mind you having free speech if me and you were talking in a pub or me and you were talking in our lounge. But the minute you started using your free speech in platforms like this, they come for you.
Yeah. Well, Tommy, we've got you here all day. And we're excited to have you here. I know Alex is going to have you up next. That's the good news. And so will Harrison. We're very, very excited to have you here in Austin, Texas for the day. Folks, in the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is the March mega sale going on right this second. 30 to 40% off your favorite supplements. Not all of the supplements, I believe. That might have changed. I'll have to scroll through it in a little bit and see myself. But yesterday, it was some of the most popular ones were on sale for 30 to 40% off. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you snag it before it's too late. Tommy Robinson's here on InfoWars for the full day, so there's much more ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandersquare.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexandersquare.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandersquare.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.